All right, welcome back, everybody. Tobin and Leroy here with you, 560 WQAM. Take you guys up until 2 here on the program. If you guys want to go see the Zac Brown Band in Las Vegas, we got a contest for you. It's so easy to enter. Log on to the Odyssey app and listen to WQAM for 1 hour. For more chances, listen every day, and you might win. The winner receives a round-trip airfare to Vegas, 2 tickets to see Zac Brown, and a 2-night stay at the Venetian Resort Las Vegas, which is directly connected to the Sphere. Don't miss out. Log on to the Odyssey app now. It's a national contest. For more info, go to odyssey.com/Zac. That's odyssey.com/ZAC. And special thanks to the Messina Touring Group. Get to our headlines here in the final hour of the program. We got Michael Lombardi going to stop by before the end of today's show. Headlines brought to you by Doral Hyundai, the number one Hyundai store in the nation. Just went full beast mode. Doral Hyundai, where the deals are monstrous and the prices don't survive. No one sells for less. No one. The Marlins, they'll be back in action in a few hours, looking to salvage the series finale against the Astros after sweeping the Yankees over the weekend. The Marlins have lost the first 2 of this series. Thankfully, though, we did get to see Jacob Marcy get his first major league home run, which was not enough to get the Marlins over the hump in this one.
Yeah, they got down quick. It was 2-0 after the first, right?
Yep. Altuve doing some damage, and now the Marlins will try and get this one tonight. Jansen Junk on the hill.
How come Leroy never takes shot at Jose Altuve for being short?
I don't know. Because he's probably going to the Hall of Fame.
Well, I'm sure people that's going to go to the Hall of Fame, but you know.
Yeah, like no. Like, I mean, him being short is not like being short in basketball, right? Because you don't have any real interaction with. So if your pitcher's 6'8" and he's 5'6", it don't matter.
It does.
Your strike zone is your strike zone.
It's small.
If you're Trae Young, right, and you're playing against the Indiana Pacers, and you got to guard their point guard, okay, yeah, there's a difference.
Tell you what, he did have. He had a little nipple clamp when they were buzzing those strikes to him, stealing those signs. We all saw the video.
It's, you know what's crazy though? I've always wondered, like, hitting a baseball is the hardest thing to do in sports.
Are you going to do the thing where you don't think it helps to know a pitch is coming? It obviously
does.
Don't
mean you're going to hit it.
It doesn't mean you're going to hit it, but it certainly helps to know.
Okay.
It doesn't deter the help.
So you think this is major league? Here's what's coming. If you hit it, you can name it.
It definitely helps. Yeah. Right. Yeah.
Okay.
That's why do you think guys get battered so much when they get caught tipping pitches? You know, if you have a certain thing that, like, if these guys are so, some of these guys are so good at picking up the smallest thing, like if they could tell, like, hey, this guy is absolutely throwing a slider here and I'm killing them and I don't have to worry about trying to catch 99. Yeah, I definitely think it helps. And now you're talking about them doing secrecy with nipple buzzers?
All right.
You seem to be, I don't know.
I just think there's certain things in sports that are so difficult that, like, it, to me, it's like, just because you have a wide open 3 doesn't mean you're going to hit it.
Okay, but also, but you don't think that if you, like, if, here's what I would say. If you don't think cheating matters, why do people work so hard to do it?
I mean, throughout the history of baseball, they've been signaling for you have a guy at second
football,
base.
Football, baseball, whatever sport. I'm talking every sport.
If you ain't cheating, you ain't trying.
Like, if it didn't work, people wouldn't do it. And cheaters cheat. Like, remember the Patriots, the whole damage is done. Got caught with the Patriots cheating against the 2-win Bengals. Did they need to? No, but they couldn't help themselves.
It helps to know.
Did Michigan need to cheat against, who is it, Central Michigan? No, but they couldn't help themselves. Cheaters cheat.
All right.
It's just how it is. Would Jose Altuve need to cheat against Cal Quantrill? Maybe not, but you're in too deep.
I mean, you're 5'3". You might want to cheat.
He's 5'3", but he's one of the best hitters of the last decade.
I mean, you're going to be a best hitter in the last decade if you cheat. If I know what the I know what you're going to throw, there's a good chance I might be able to hit it somewhere.
Did Barry Bonds need to cheat?
Well, which
no,
which
Barry but everybody was cheating. But so yeah, why not the best cheat?
Well, listen, Barry had a Hall of Fame career before cheating, but he sees all the success and bags that everybody else was getting while cheating. He's like, well, let me cheat.
Well, his logic was sound.
Very
he
sound.
He looked at Sammy Sosa. He goes, the guy who hits 220 every year?
Big Mac.
Now he's hitting 66. Imagine if I took it. Mark he was
McGuire,
right.
Mark McGuire was everybody, you know, he was loved.
Barry Bonds is the original bro science. He looked at two bums, saw what steroids did for them, and then he's like, I'm going to take steroids. I'm going to become the greatest thing to ever touch the field because I'm already maybe one of the best that's ever touched the field. That's science.
That's science. No, that's no. You know what that is, Tobin? That's not only science. That's logic. That's logic. If I'm already one of the best and I'm not on it, on the PEDs, what will happen if I am on the PEDs?
Anyway, you're still a cheat, Altuve.
Aldo just say that he's still a cheat.
The Marlins, they're at a 440 tonight. 440 today is your first pitch from Lone Depot Park. And then after that, I think they got the Braves next.
Four-game series in Atlanta.
Starting in Atlanta, 7:15 tomorrow. Yuri on the hill. And then Edward Cabrera and then Sandman.
Leroy, they saying you cheated in a milk chugging contest. Is that true?
No, beer chugging.
Oh, beer chugging.
Yep. He did cheat. We did it. It was in the pandemic. We were doing it on Instagram Live. And I was like, he's like, yeah, I can out chug you. And I was like, no way. Going at the beer. And I'm trying to go at this thing, Vlad. And I look, I'm like halfway done. He's gone. I'm like, there's no way. There's no way.
He doesn't like beer.
He doesn't like beer. Thankfully, his daughter ratted him out.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, she was like, Daddy, what you going to do with the rest of that beer?
Dude, I was exhausted. Just drinking half the beer, I was exhausted. I was like, you're done?
How big was this, like a regular can of beer?
A pitcher.
It was a pitcher.
You can't finish a pitcher?
No.
The bubbles got him.
Yep. The birth of Snitchy
the
Mouse.
Bubble guts got it.
Not the bubble guts, just the
suds.
Bubbles.
The suds.
The suds picked you up.
What beer was it?
I think
crap
it was,
beer.
I think it was Bud Light, Miller Light, one of those light beers.
Crap beer. Oh, you don't want to slam the good beer.
Yeah.
You want the watered down beer so you can get it down.
But that didn't work for you either. So
no. No, still beer.
Still too many bubbles for you. Tua Tagovailoa, he met with the media today. This was Tua discussing going into a joint practice. And how he's looking forward to facing somebody else.
Yeah, we're pretty excited. I think our defense is pretty excited as well. We have a lot of chirping going on back and forth with the competitive nature, with situational ball and then team drills. And so I know those guys are hungry to, you know, to see the ball more because I for sure wasn't letting them see the ball a lot this training camp.
Wow, he is chirping at the defense. Tua's only got one pick so far.
Yeah, I heard he had a bad practice yesterday. A lot of incompletions, missed Tyreek deep, underthrew Tyreek. It happens. I mean, it's one of, 12 practices? It's not going to be perfect all the time.
Little hangover. No biggie.
A hangover?
You know, a little hangover game. Saw Taj Washington had a nice catch today. They tweeted that out. I was like, yeah, that's kind of cool. Hopefully he has a good game. He could be my new Azukama.
Really?
Unless Azukama is my new Azukama.
Well, he can't be your new. He's already
he's
old.
Camp. We call him a camp Hall of Famer.
He's a camp Hall of Famer, dude. He is a camp Hall of Famer. Tua also discussed his new look offensive line. This is what Tua had to say on the big uglies up front.
They've done a good job. Now, there's going to be things that we still got to lean in on. We got to focus on.
Focus.
You know, isn't always going to be there as you're, you know, game planning for a team. So right now it's just the fundamentals and technique that they're working on with whatever calls we have up there, right? But I think as we start to game plan for teams, as we get closer to getting ready for the season, it should look a lot better for our guys. But I think they've done a phenomenal job up to this point.
That's a phenomenal job is a good description. I like that. Makes me happy. We'll take a break. When we come back, got to get into this crazy story that dropped yesterday with the Miami Heat and all the thievery. That's next. All right, welcome back, everybody. Tobin and Leroy here with you, 560 WQAM. Dolphins getting ready for their first preseason game. Got the Canes hitting camp, getting ready for Notre Dame.
Heat. So the Canes play the end of August, right?
Yeah, Labor Day weekend.
Okay. Week zero, they call
week
it.
Week one.
I think they're week one, the real week. I don't think they're week zero. I think the week zero is like somebody else.
The week before.
It's the week before. No, obviously it's the week before, but I don't. It's like
I mean, Vlad, we get that. I was just I thought you were gonna come out with what two teams are playing, and you came back with the week before week one.
It's week zero. I mean, week one is Labor Day weekend.
Here's week zero: Iowa, Kansas State, Idaho State, UNLV, Fresno, and Kansas.
Oh, they ain't even trying.
Sam Houston and Western Kentucky and Stanford and Hawaii. That's week zero.
I made that trip out there. That was exciting.
To Hawaii?
Yeah, going out to Hawaii, realizing that you're not going to play because you on the travel squad, but you're a freshman. But what ended up happening was that one fullback, one running back was already out, and two more running backs got hurt. So I just ran onto the field. Because I'm up, and they called the timeout and took my ass out.
So yesterday, the Department of Justice, they have issued a statement, or the U.S. Attorney's Office, excuse me, Southern District of Florida, they have issued a statement because they have made charges in the Heat heist. Did you guys talk about the Heat heist at all last week?
Yeah, a little bit.
So for those who aren't caught up, the Miami Heat got heisted for hundreds of stolen items of game-used memorabilia that were apparently sold on the black market of memorabilia. And we're talking hundreds of jerseys that the Heat, you know, were keeping in storage, apparently for some kind of potential Heat Hall of Fame or whatever. But they noticed that I guess these items were stolen. And so the attorney's office here, they give out the statement that says, a former employee of the Miami Heat made his initial appearance in federal court today on one count of information, charging him with transporting and transferring stolen goods in interstate commerce. According to the charging document, Marcos Thomas Perez, 62, of Miami, is accused of stealing millions of dollars worth of Miami Heat game-worn jerseys and other valuable memorabilia, which he later sold to online brokers. Perez is a 25-year retired veteran of the City of Miami Police Department, which employed as a security officer with the Miami Heat from 2016 to 2021, and then later worked as an NBA security employee from 2022 to 2025. During his tenure, Perez worked on the game day security detail at the Kaseya Center, where he was among a limited number of trusted individuals with access to a secured equipment room. This equipment room stored hundreds of game-worn jerseys and other memorabilia that the organization intended to display at a future Miami Heat museum. During his employment, Perez accessed the equipment room multiple times to steal over 400 game-worn jerseys and other items, which he then sold to various online marketplaces. Over a three-year period, he sold over 100 stolen items for approximately $2 million and shipped them across state lines, often for prices well below their market value. As an example, he sold a game-worn LeBron James Miami Heat NBA Finals jersey for approximately $100,000. That same jersey later sold at an auction for $3.7 million. Jeez.
So,
on April 3rd, law enforcement executed a search warrant at his residence and seized nearly 300 additional stolen game-worn jerseys and memorabilia. The Miami Heat confirmed that these items had been stolen from their facility.
So, here's the kicker. You know why they keep saying interstate lines?
Yeah, because he's selling them to other states, I'd imagine.
No, that makes it federal.
Okay.
So that's why they keep saying that.
Yeah, when it's federal, that
because
means they
that makes
come
it
at you.
Federal.
Well, if he did sell it to somebody else, though, that does like, I mean,
yeah.
But still, like, it's that's crazy.
I mean, I'm
400 jerseys.
Nobody noticed those things were missing.
What did he like? Well, do you think like he put like a TJ?
How did he get them out?
Maybe he like he did a switcheroo because on any good heist movie, there's a switcheroo. You know, so maybe he replaced him with like a TJ Maxx LeBron. So it weighed the same.
Timu. Timu LeBron.
Time out. If you're going to try. If you're going to try to imposter a real game-worn jersey, you're not going to TJ.
Well, hold on, So you think he's going, you think like he gets an actual authentic jersey? Like you think he buys like the $300 authentic jersey and tries to put that back
the
in?
The closest ripoff to it. Like the Canal Street version of the NBA real jersey. But they're not going to TJ.
I don't know.
Come on, man.
Something had to set it off where they're like, hey, wait a minute, why is the James spelt with a lowercase? Like there had to be something that like sparked everybody.
Why is there an I?
Yeah. Why? Why? Like what honest? Set this off that it was noticed that the Heat were like, do you think they finally were putting the plans together for this museum? And they're like, hey, wait a minute, what is this?
That is hysterical.
Wow.
That's crazy, dude. He just puts like an NBA patch. Like instead of a patch, it's just a sticker.
Yeah.
Is it raining by you guys?
No.
I don't know if you heard the thundering, but yeah, by
not,
me.
Not yet.
Clear skies over here.
Yeah.
It's loud.
Yeah. It's them big drops.
So do you think like he was bold enough to like go to?
I mean, that's dude. He's got some.
Oh yeah,
major nabs for that, bro. Like that's crazy.
What do you think he did? You
especially
think
the Heat. Like the Heat.
Yeah, he's been working there in some capacity for like 10 years.
Right.
Yeah. Everybody probably trusted him. You know, they're probably just like, hey, there's what the hell's the guy's name? There's Marcos.
It's always a Marcos.
It's always a Marcos, dude.
There's always a Marcos.
You think like he puts on the jersey and then puts back on the security outfit? Or do you think he puts it in a bag?
He's got to put it in a bag.
I think he puts on the jersey.
You put on the jersey? Like you're taking away the authenticity of the jersey.
I don't think he cares.
He wants a game.
No one going to know.
It's a game-worn jersey. Put it this way. If it wasn't game-worn, it's not going to have the same value. But the fact that
you ain't selling a regular jersey for 3.7.
But if you're selling,
that's what I'm saying. You're selling a game worn jersey for 3.7.
If you're selling heisted material, do you think they're asking a lot of questions?
No, you don't.
No,
care.
No,
you
they don't care.
You don't want no
they
answers.
They don't care. All they care about is if it's authentic or not.
Yeah.
So he's probably wearing the jersey and then putting his uniform back on top of it.
Wow! Somebody said that wasn't Thunder. It was Jaime's bubble gut.
Yeah, that's how, like, every good heist movie has a switcheroo, Leroy.
Yeah, they always do the switcheroo. You have to have an extra bag that's similar to the original bag. You have to have something that's similar, so when you do the switcheroo, they're all befuddled.
But usually in these situations, there's never anybody who has that much access to the items, right? So he was well trusted.
No, he was. I mean, if you not only were an NBA, a Miami Heat security guard, but then got hired by the league, yeah, right. Obviously the guy was trusted, but he got greedy.
Here's what sucks about it. What sucks about all this is nobody cares about the money as much as they care about the item, and some of those things are gone.
Well, yeah. Right? I mean, I guess the good thing is, I imagine if they seize those items, I guess the Heat get to get a lot of them back. But no, this is crazy. That happened with Joe Burrow, with like a lot of his stuff that got stolen from his house. People like they were able to find it from pawn shops. But this is do you think anybody was looking? They're like, do you think that the LeBron jersey selling for nearly $4 million? Somebody had to be like, huh, I wonder where they got that. Game used, huh? And then Carl goes to the equipment room and he goes, they've all been replaced by Terrell Harris jerseys. What?
Not
you're telling me The guy that stole it is going to act like shocked when he's like, oh, my God, it's been robbed.
I think that he goes into, I don't know who it is. I don't know if it's like Eric Woolworth's office. You know, I don't know if he goes straight to Pat Riley. He goes, Mr. President, all the jerseys, all the LeBron jerseys are now Roni Turioff's.
In the documentary, dun, dun, you see him running through the hallway.
Man.
There has to be some guy, like Carl is doing like spring cleaning and he's like checking on all the jerseys and he goes, he's like, yeah, man.
I don't think they even check them.
We got a lot of
Sometimes you put stuff in storage, you don't realize it's gone until going to use it.
And then he goes, hey, Lance, you notice we have a lot of Greg Odins and not a lot of LeBrons?
I mean, it's like all that stuff is insured, but again,
yeah, but it's game
these
worn.
People have so much money. It's not about the money. It's about the items. Like the Heat having an autographed LeBron jersey to put on display is more important to the Heat organization than having the $3.7 million that it sold for.
Oh, yeah. It's about the item, right? It's like right. If you have the exactly. LeBron, if I have the LeBron James, the cramp game jersey, you know, where he hits the three ball game four against the Thunder, you know, what are those, two? Because he probably wears two jerseys a game.
Who wears, you think he wears two jerseys a game?
I know Jimmy does. Unless they dry clean one jersey during the halftime.
No, they...
Some guys.
I don't know if they wear two. I've worn two jerseys before.
Some guys are sweaters.
But a football
jersey is a pain in the ass, isn't it? Because you got to put it over shoulder pads.
Yeah, but you put the you have to have help too.
Yeah,
because it's tight.
Right.
But no. So I remember we were going to play Kansas City and it flooded to the fact where we had to walk through water to get through the locker room because. When you go to – in Kansas City, when you go to the locker room, it's like a dugout.
Mm-hmm.
So you go down and then up. So all that was flooded. And we had to just go through it, and we all change uniforms.
Well, remember how crazy it was – was it like Brady's last Super Bowl with the Patriots? Remember how crazy it was because that jersey got stolen? They damn near sent out they sent out damn near the whole SWAT team to go get that. And that was one.
Was right after the game.
This guy had 400 jerseys.
Wow,
guys!
I don't know, man.
What if the guy gets there and the warning goes, and you think he tries to broker a deal, and he goes, "Listen, I didn't want to say anything. All right, you could take me down, or I can give you the game one Goran Dragic from the bubble from the bubble finals. What say you? What say you? Huh? Can we
he
talk this
fold.
Out?
You would fold.
I'd be like, all right, whatever you say, Officer Perez."
I love Officer Barrett.
That's crazy, though.
That's like, insane.
It's not. That's not a heist, right?
That is a heist.
It is, but
it's a slow rolling heist.
You know how much that jersey he could sell that for?
He sold it for $100,000, and then it resold for $3.7 million.
That's a heist.
All right.
Anything that
well, they're saying that he's did it multiple times. So if he did this, I mean, hundreds of thousands once can turn in. They're just saying that they just put that in the press release as the example. They're saying
here's the problem.
They're saying he sold it. That his selling went in total of over $2 million.
Here's the problem with all this. You ready? If you're gonna take a bunch of items,
yep,
you got to get them off your hands quick.
Right.
Just in case they come over to your house. Right? The fact that he still had 300 jerseys left, and this is from years of stuff. Wow, when did this happen? This year?
He said he was employed by the NBA last year.
So, depending on when he did it, right? If you're going to take something, the last thing you want in your house is evidence.
What do you think the first time that he got the codes were? Do you think like some guy's like, you know, I really like Josh McRoberts. He goes, I got one for you, Thomas. Here, take one. And then he's like, he like matched the thumbprint. He goes, perfect. Now I can get it whenever I want. Stupid idiot thought that I wanted a McRoberts jersey.
So wait, you're figuring out he's got a little piece of tape.
Yeah.
And he's taping the fingerprint.
I think he's going, shh. She's like spraying the spray.
Oh my
see the lasers.
Goodness.
So why you kind of like Mission Impossible, right? But here's the problem. Shouldn't he know better as a cop that if you take something, you don't have it just stored in your house?
Yeah, I guess.
You have a side house or a stash house or something like that.
No, he's going to show off.
You got to have a unit or something.
He's a police officer, though.
Every heist person has
to show off.
Every heist. Well, he wasn't a police officer anymore. He was the heat and NBA security guy.
He knows the tricks of the trade.
Man, another guy who knows.
You can't be a police officer. This is no lie. You cannot be a police officer and get caught with the stuff you stole in your house. That's just
greedy. No. Another man who knows the tricks of the trade, Michael Lombardi, one time drafted to Leroy Horde. Brought him in, gave him a talking to. He's running things over at UNC. He joins us next.